All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Two Old Rider Podcast. I am your host, Mario Orsini, and I am joined by my co-host this morning, Brian Boyer. Brian, it's like 6:07 a.m.
Yeah, that's what we got to do, right? Got to get in the podcast.
Yeah, so we just got back from Costa Rica last night. Well, we get back here at your house about 8:30.
Yep.
And we're already up this morning. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. We got a lot of stuff to share. We want to kind of give you our experience of what both Costa Rica Unlimited, the tour we went on, and Costa Rica, the country, was like. But like we do all podcasts, and Brian was questioning whether or not this was a good idea because we started this tradition of having a whiskey pour at the beginning, and we're going to do that despite the fact it's 6 a.m. So this morning we have Knob Creek. This is probably going to be the smallest pour you've ever seen on the show. There will not be a second pour this morning because I've got to get home at some point. I don't want to smell like whiskey at 7 o'clock in the morning. So cheers, my friend. Cheers. We survived Costa Rica.
Absolutely.
It's actually pretty good at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it went down smooth.
Yeah. All right, so we want to quickly go through, once again, thank you everyone that's been supporting the podcast. It's been overwhelming, the support we've seen so far. We'll play a commercial later on in this so you guys can, you know, understand the different ways you can support it, but just by listening is the biggest way. So at the contributor level, Luke Harding is on at the contributor level as well as Dylan. Dylan's coming to us on Patreon. At the production crew level, we've got Amanda Knapp from She Shall Ride. We also have Morgan Graves and SRT AMA East Hair Scrambles presented by Beta. Happy to have all three of those groups and folks on. And then at the executive producer level, we have Jeff Hokinson. Happy to have him on as well. And I'm sure we'll see him on another ride later this year, one of the two-wheeled rider riding events, because I know that's why he wanted to be at the executive producer level. So,
yeah, I can't wait for those events. They're great. So that's a really great opportunity for them to get in there because they sell out fast.
Yeah, they do. And I've got to get I just got to sit down and look at the schedule and figure it all out. But we're definitely going to do two of them this year, and we're hoping for a third. So speaking of riding events, Costa Rica was a hell of an experience.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was. I'll tell you what, Brian, let's just kind of not that we're going to walk everybody through like the exact – you know, day by day, hour by hour. But, you know, we took off here just a little over a week ago. It was last Saturday morning. It wasn't a bad flight. It was shorter than a flight from here to L.A. We were down here, what, like four?
Yeah, I think it was 4 hours. Yeah. I think it was cool. I mean, we flew southwest out of the Baltimore region and kind of fortunate to have a direct flight. So yeah, it kind of really cut down the travel time.
And I had some questions on this before we get into Costa Rica itself. People were asking how I get my gear down there. Did the same thing I did for Europe. I've got one of the OGO 9800 bags. Brian has one of the climb bags. Yes, technically, if you pull the tape measure on them, they're oversized. That's the third time I've traveled with that, or sixth time, however you want to look at it, because you got return flights. No issues. Just keep it under the 50 pounds, and you don't have to worry about it. But we fit two sets of riding gear and then like obviously one set of boots, one helmet into the bag. And
yeah, no problems on the 50 pounds or the size of the climb bag was a little bit more bulky. So I was a little worried about that, but nothing said and no issues.
They didn't even give us a second look. So, all right. So we landed in Costa Rica. First thing we noticed, it's hot. I mean, we're down here, you know, we left winter here and we get down there and it's summer. I think it was 86, 87 degrees the entire time we were there and dropped to what, all the way down to like 79 at night. Like there was no fluctuation.
No, but the first day, I think it felt like 105, just that acclimation took a bit of time coming from winter here.
Yeah, that's for sure. So what was your initial impressions? Like what was the process like? What did you think about going through the customs process, immigration process? And then, you know, then we had to go get a rental car because we had to drive.
We'll talk about that. Yeah, so customs I thought was, you know, fairly straightforward. Asked some questions of where we were headed. No big deal there. Got through. Then there was a nice duty-free place to pick up some alcohol that had some great prices there. And then we headed outside, and I think that's where kind of the chaos began. So a ton of people, you know, waiting for cabs. We had to find where our rental car place was. And this was kind of the only turnoff for me of the trip, just because I wasn't knowing what to expect. But we got all our luggage into the rental car place, and then there's some people in the official looking vest demanding money. And if I was back in the States, I'd tell them to go pound sand, but you know, you never know, are they going to unload my luggage and I don't see it again? So, you know, it kind of gave them a little money, but I don't know if that was necessary.
Yeah. I mean, the whole rental car process, it was, first off, you had to find a guy with a sign. Like, we're used to here in the States, and even when I was traveling in Europe, like, you just walk to the rental car counter, or in our case, lots of times we just walk past it. But you had to find a guy with a sign, and then we all piled in. Shuttles aren't unheard of, but normally it's an official shuttle. This was the rental car company shuttle. And I think we only went something like 2 miles, but it took like 15, 20 minutes. Traffic was awful.
Yeah, I don't know if it was just one of those days, because when we came back the following Saturday, we had no issues. But that day, I think there was just, you know, kind of that perfect storm, a ton of accidents. It took forever. And I think after that long flight, you're kind of excited to get in your car and like get where you're going.
Yeah, we eventually got it. We ended up with, what was it, a Hyundai Santa Fe?
Yeah, and that was the other thing we were kind of worried about. I brought roof straps just in case, because I was kind of worried, because we had five people. But shockingly, we got everything in there, no problem.
We did. And it is recommended, if you're going down to Costa Rica Unlimited, and they'll tell you this, rent a four-wheel drive, and we'll talk about why you need a four-wheel drive here in a minute. So we had, I guess we had about an hour and a half drive to the compound. Make sure you've got change. And it's probably best to have it in their currency, colones. That way you make sure you get the right change back, because you are going to have some tolls you're going to have to run through. I don't remember what the rate was, but they were cheap.
Yeah, I think they were five. I think the most expensive one was 600 colones. And yeah, to Mario's point, if you have the change, it makes it a lot easier. I heard, you know, another group of our friends that went down there, they were paying in American dollars, and they just didn't get quite back the right change. So it was pretty simple to kind of pay in their currency and make sure you get back the correct change.
Yeah, while they'll take dollars down there just about everywhere, the exchange rate changes every day. You're not always going to get the right amount back. So if you've got their currency, great. Otherwise, just take a credit card. And yes, my American Express card worked basically. Actually, it was taken everywhere I tried to use it. So
yeah, there was no places besides maybe on some of the places that we were going riding, but that was covered. You know, I used the same thing. I had my Southwest card, and it was very accessible for credit cards everywhere.
So drive down. I mean, at this point, we're getting hungry. So I think we stopped in Yaka for lunch.
Yeah.
Or lunch slash dinner. Yep. We hit up a taco bar. Place was excellent. There's a, I don't know. I mean, it was labeled as a grocery store, but you could tell it was owned by Walmart. In fact, you could even buy, was it Walmart gift cards in there? So we stopped over there and got some snacks. And then we're using the WhatsApp to contact Chris, the guy that runs Costa Rica Unlimited. We came up with a meeting place, met up with him. He was on, I don't remember what bike that was. It was some old school Yamaha. And we start to follow him up the mountain. When I say up the mountain, I literally mean up the mountain. And at least the type of stuff I'm used to, going up a mountain means you kind of zigzag up. This one was more like straight up. And there, you know, you're kind of on like dirt and gravel, and then you get to an area where it's concrete, but it's not the entire road. It's like a lane, maybe lane and a quarter. And I think it was like the second like steep one. I was really wondering if we were going to get up, because I think your dad had the SUV on the floor.
Oh, it was floored, and you know, you have all that luggage, five people in there. I thought we were going to have to do kind of the Fred Flintstone where each of us kind of put a leg out and start paddling.
So you get up there, and I mean, you are climbing at a rapid rate, and we eventually get up to basically the top, and then you hop on a little dirt side road, which is fairly flat, and then you arrive at the compound. And you know, we're calling it a compound because it legitimately is. Like, there's a big gate. And I don't know what your thoughts were when that gate opened and then we saw the hill we had to go down to get to where we were going. Like,
it was insane. I think, you know, some previous of our friends went the year before and they kind of prepared us. And they're like, when you went there, they're like, you're going to think it's nuts, but just go.
Yeah.
And same impression. I was like, I don't know about this with the car.
I mean, it was always like you're looking over a ledge to get in there. But no, we made it in there safely. And then we got a chance to check out, you know, the facilities. And the first thing you're probably going to take in is the view, because it's amazing. And if you're watching this on YouTube, I'll put one of the pictures up, one of the first ones we took. I mean, you're up not quite to the tippy top of the mountain, but you're pretty darn close. And you got a view of the ocean and a bunch of land in between. I mean, it's just an amazing view.
Yeah, it was breathtaking. At that point, I was like, I don't even need the house that they have. Just give me a hammock out here. It was beautiful.
Yeah, but the house was super nice. And they've got, what, three houses there available for rental that are, when I say rental, I mean, it's all part of the package. But yeah, I mean, it was super nice. There's a pool there that's common, or actually, I guess it's two infinity pools there that are common use for any of the riders. There's a bar area, which I really enjoyed that. They had it stocked with like their local beer, some sodas, some snacks and stuff. And it was just a honor system as to what you were taking out of there. You just checked the notebook. I thought that was pretty cool. Everything was like $2. And when I say $2, I mean, it was actually American dollars. I guess I should mention that the folks that run Costa Rica Unlimited are Americans. They're just residents of Costa Rica, but that was pretty cool. But yeah, Chris kind of took us around, gave us the lay of the land, and then we got unpacked and shit. I mean, we were watching Supercross that night on the outdoor TV, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, especially coming from winter, just being down there, getting a nice drink, sitting at the bar, watching Supercross outside. That was just a great first day, especially after a little bit of the stress of getting there and the drive. All that went away as soon as you arrived at the compound. It was just kind of like all the stress from getting there, all the stress from life in general, it was just immediately gone. It was just so relaxing there.
And they do have Wi-Fi if you want to get on your cell phone. I should have mentioned that. Chris took us up and showed us the bikes. And you mainly have KTMs and Husqvarnas to choose from. There are a few Yamahas in there. I think, were all the Yamahas 250? Four strokes. Yeah. Yep. And then from the KTM and Huskies, they were mainly 350 four strokes. I think there was a 250 or two.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure, but the 300 two strokes as well.
Yeah. You had 300 two strokes, but they were all 2020s. They update those bikes every year, every 2 years, something like that. So you're always going to be on pretty much the latest and greatest. And he's got a whole, you know, crew that takes care of those things. So, and we'll get into that in a few minutes, but yeah, so we went up there and took a piece of duct tape and a Sharpie and put our name on a bike, and we were ready to roll for the next morning when we got up. And then the first thing I noticed was the next morning was sun comes up awfully early down there.
Yeah, it was weird because I thought, you know, we're breakfast, I think, you know, served at 7:30, and then we get riding around 9, and it's just like you wake up at 5 a.m. when the sun comes up, and it really gave you a chance just to kind of relax and also enjoy the view again before getting into the riding portion. So I actually kind of enjoyed that. I always felt rested every morning.
Rested, sometimes sore, but rested. Day one, so we were there, what was it, 5 nights, kind of 6 days.
Yep.
And we rode for 3 days. So after our first night, the next day, which I'm going to call like day one, which is actually day two, was the first day we were on the bike. So we started out with breakfast that morning at the compound, which was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, whatever you do, do not buy groceries. Get their breakfast. It is worth every single penny, especially going into your riding day. One, the food was amazing. You got to try different things. You didn't have to stress about making anything. It was perfect. It was something that I would do every time for sure.
Yeah, I definitely recommend buying the breakfast plan. And keep in mind, when you guys are listening to this, I mean, prices could change later on, but for us, it came out to $15 a day. You definitely got your money's worth. And if you weren't going to fix something there in the house, which is, you got everything you need to fix stuff, I don't know, it was a 15-minute drive down just to get somewhere, you know, at least 10, 15 minutes. So you're going to have to get up earlier. You're going to have to drive out somewhere and get something made. I would just eat at the compound because the food was amazing.
Absolutely.
All right. So at this point, we should mention we weren't the only ones there. Our group was three, at least three riders. We had five people, but three riders. There was a group from Canada that was, what, five deep? It was two guys and their three sons.
Yep.
But let me just step back for a second. Those two guys weren't together. They were friends. One of them had two sons. One of them had a son. And then there was a group of guys from, like, the Arizona area, and they were all friends. And I think one guy was from Texas. And there was there three or four of them?
Four.
Four of them, yeah. So we kind of split up into our groups. Our tour guide was Carlos. We kind of, I mean, everybody starts out on the same thing because you got to get out of the compound. And then we kind of broke up a little bit. And they never really said this, but, I mean, basically they're kind of measuring up each group. See who, I don't want to say see who can ride, but see what your level of riding ability is so they can kind of tailor make the tour to your riding ability.
Yeah, I think, you know, they kind of talk to you, they see what you want to do, but then, you know, everyone kind of has a different perception of what, you know, they can do. And I think for them, they kind of got to weed through that and understand, okay, let me kind of see based off of here. There's a lot of different factors with the heat. And so I think the first day is just kind of seeing where everyone is at. And, you know, at the end of the day, they, you know, kept repeating it. They'll do whatever you want. They want you to have the best trip possible. And I think that's where kind of the breaking up into the groups come, is they just want you to have a great time, but also push your skill level a little bit and get you to be a better rider, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, after we rode like the first few sections there, Carlos asked us if we wanted to go hit up, you know, like a kind of like a single track trail. And we're all like, yeah. And then you make that first left hand turn. And your dad, first off, none of us were expecting that. Like, it was super deep rut. And then it was a 90 degree turn up the hill, super deep rut, which wasn't as deep as the first one. But I mean, I don't know how deep that was. It three feet deep?
No, for the YouTube people, you gotta throw that up there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's kind of funny because we'll probably talk about this later on. But we went and did that hill again later in the tour, you know, on one of the other days. And it was like, what do you mean? Well, how did that cause me any issues on the first day? And Chris kind of touched on this, I think, when we talked with him. It's just like, you know, you come there, you don't know what to expect. You don't know what's kind of around the corner. You're getting used to the terrain, the heat, all these different factors. After you get comfortable into that, things start coming a little bit easier.
Yeah, I think it just kind of shocked us there early on. And got up to the top of the hill, and I was just out of breath. And you know, the first thing going through my head is, we're barely getting started here. Is this the way it's going to be the rest of the day? Because if so, I may not survive. But we ended up not too much longer at a creek or a river or whatever. We were able to cool off there. And that was one of the things I enjoyed about this trip, was you'd go out and ride hard for about an hour, and then we'd have a stop somewhere in there. So you got a chance to get a little bit of a break.
No, the breaks were key, and I think that's what was really cool as well. Is it's like he almost kind of knew that, like, close to breaking point, where it's just like he worked us, we're getting really tired, like, I don't know if I can keep going. And then next thing you know, you hit a river or a creek and you lay in that, and you're just like, it's like a reset button. Like, I just felt like the whole day started over. I felt fresh and ready to go ride more trail. So they did such a great job of breaking that up into kind of bite-sized pieces, if you will.
Yeah. We ended up at a mango farm that had a motocross track on it.
Yeah, that was so cool. I was kind of tired, and you don't know what to expect either. You know, how much longer the day is, how much harder is it going to get? But I was like, I got to at least do a lap or two around this moto track, because when do you get to go through a mango tree farm on a motocross track? That's a bucket list item that wasn't even on my bucket list.
Yeah, that's what your dad was saying as well. I had to go around because I had to be able to say I did it, even though I never thought I'd ever say this. So, and we actually did have some mango while we were there. We got finished up there, and then when did we have lunch? Did we go to the waterfall next, or did we have lunch next?
No, we went to the waterfall next, because that was kind of on the same property, which was a really cool single track trail back to that waterfall.
With plenty of water crossings to get back there too.
Yeah, I thought that was so cool about a lot of where we went. It's just kind of all the water crossings, creek crossings, just really fun trail to get back to some really neat spots.
And when you don't have to do the wheel bearing changes, you don't mind doing all those water crossings.
oh no, that's, it was great. You just kind of, you ride the bike. If there was an issue, I know my dad, you know, he came to one of the stops and his brake lever, you know, wasn't adjusted right. And they had a little, wanted it kind of more formatted to what he wanted. And they get off the bike and they fix it for you. It felt like a factory rider the whole time.
Yeah. So the waterfall, that was perfect because I was hot as could be at that. And I think a lot of people were. And all my gear on, with the exception of like my helmet and gloves, and all of us did this. There's like a big, you know, pool there. I don't know how high that waterfall was, but it was way up there. What'd the water get up to? Maybe like chest deep, maybe a little bit deeper than that.
Yeah, there was a couple spots that was deep. And, you know, this is just one point I wanted to touch on, because I've always been like, oh, never get your feet wet, whatever you do when you ride, and don't get your feet wet. But one piece of advice, no matter where you find a body of water, submerge your whole body in it. You'll dry faster than you think, and it doesn't really affect it having the wet feet. It's actually very relaxing. No,
it's huge, because you can go in there super overheated and, you know, 2-5 minutes in that water, because the water was nice and cool. You felt like a new person. So thoroughly enjoyed the waterfall. Then we went and got lunch, and, you know, this was kind of the cool part. We just went to like a little hole in the wall place, and it's probably a place that if I was on travel myself, I wouldn't go eat at, but I'm glad we did. Like we plopped down in there. I'm sure the Costa Rica Unlimited guys know all the local places and probably, you know, have relationships with each of them. But got a great plate of food. The other thing was, there's also food on that plate. Not that there's anything that, you know, that was bad on it, but there was probably stuff on there that generally I wouldn't eat just because I'm a little bit picky. But I was so hungry. I ate everything on that plate. I mean, it was like, what was that day? It was meat and rice and beans
and that like grilled cheese.
Yeah, not like a grilled cheese sandwich. Literally just cheese that had been grilled. So much good stuff on that plate. And I left there full, but not like sleepy time, you know?
No, but I really enjoyed kind of that more authentic feel. As you mentioned, it's a place that I probably wouldn't have gone to myself just because it looked like kind of that hole in the wall, and I don't think anyone there spoke English. But that's what was so cool about this trip, is really hitting some of those hidden gems that are off the beaten path that you would never really go to if you visited Costa Rica just on your own.
So one of the things, and we'll probably talk about this a little bit more, but, you know, the riding throughout the day, the terrain's totally different than back home. First off, it's dry season, so dirt is hard packed. I mean, there's with the exception of what we'll get into on one of the days where it worked out pretty well for us, dirt's super hard packed. You're riding at some pretty high altitudes, and then you'll drop back down to lower altitudes. Like, we'll be on top of a mountain, then we'll be down in the valley somewhere doing another water crossing. But a lot of good riding in the afternoon. And who knows, maybe it was just as difficult as the morning, but you just kind of got used to it at that point. But I didn't feel like we pushed much harder in the afternoon. It was a little bit easier to get back.
Yeah, it was kind of downhill after lunch, in the sense of just, I think you felt recharged. You know, the breaks throughout the day, you start to get a little bit more comfortable with what you're riding, the terrain. You know, this is also a bike that you've never ridden. So I think all of those factors kind of come together and things get a little bit easier in the afternoon.
Yeah, so you kind of touched on this already, but you get back to the compound, you really do feel like a factory rider, because you roll in, there's a dude out there with a pressure washer, you pull your bike up, drop it off, and before they even start really pressure washing the bikes, they're pressure washing your boots off while you still got them on.
Yeah, well, you pull your bike up and everything is done for you. I don't know how I'm going to ride after this experience, because I'm just going to like take off my gear and lay it in the driveway and expect for it to disappear. But yeah, from everything, from your gear getting pressure washed, basically you just take everything off and they take care of it for you, and yeah, it's washed and cleaned.
You got a couple ladies out there that will literally pressure wash it there on the driveway, and then it goes in to the washer. And then it goes up on the line to dry. They've got spots to dry your boots. Your boots are probably never going to be totally dry while you're down there, but it's not an impediment. And then, you know, after we strip our stuff off, you throw a pair of shorts on and you're in the pool enjoying a cold one, waiting on dinner. I mean, That's a heck of a day.
Yeah, after riding, I mean, it's, you know, whatever, however long it takes you to get undressed to getting into the pool, that's kind of, you know, how great it is. You don't have to worry about anything else other than get your gear off, get a bathing suit on, grab a cold one from the cooler for $2, and then jump in that pool and enjoy the view. It's perfection after a great day of riding.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I also discovered that I had a few bruises from some of my crashes earlier in the day, but they've about healed up at this point. So, all right, guys, we are going to take a quick break. Then we're going to come back and fill you in on what the rest of our week was like down in Costa Rica. And we'll be back in just a few moments. Hey guys, Mario here. If you'd like to help support the Two Wheeled Rider podcast, head on over to patreon.com/Two Wheeled Rider. For as little as $2 a month, you can be a contributor. You'll get an on-air thank you, your name listed on twowheeledrider.com as a contributor, and 10% off any order on twowheeledrider.com. For $5 a month, you'll get everything I just listed, plus a Two Wheeled Rider sticker pack and a handwritten thank you letter from Brian and me. And if you want to be a big spender and go up to $10 a month, this is where things get interesting. Not only will you get everything I listed, you'll get a social media follow back by Brian and I, but the coolest part is you will be granted early access to sign up for any Two-Wheeled Rider riding event. And if you followed these events in the past, you know they sell out in literally minutes. So this will be a way to pretty much guarantee your spot and come along on an epic ride. But if you don't want to mess with Patreon, head on over to twowheeledrider.com and click on the podcast tab. Any credit card or PayPal account will do. We have all the same options we have on Patreon. In addition to that, we have a one-time contribution should you not want to do a subscription and you just like to donate to the show. That would be great. And we also have a whiskey sponsor. I'm not going to go into the details on that one. You can read up for them yourself. And in addition to all of this, once we hit $100 a month in monthly pledges, we are going to give away a Rocky Mountain ATV MC gift card in the amount of $100 to one of our Patreons or contributors to the podcast. But we understand if you don't want to support us monetarily, and we are totally cool with that. We just hope you enjoy the podcast. It would be awesome if you could give us a rating on whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on, and maybe share it with someone else you think may be interested. All right, so we wake up day two. How are you feeling? When I say day two, I'm talking ride day two. How are you feeling ride day two when you woke up that morning?
I was a little sore, but actually, surprisingly, I felt better. And I think it kind of went to how they lay everything out the first day. They kind of ease into it. You have the breaks because, you know, I'll admit, like, you know, I've been helping out with SXES and sweep riding. That's probably the extent of my riding, which isn't really pushing, you know, anything with that. So with the heat considering and how much we rode on day one, I actually felt pretty good.
Yeah. So I woke up the next morning and my right hip was a little sore. I realized why, because it was black and blue. I guess that happened from the crash the day earlier, because all I'd noticed before was a big bruise on my right bicep, which didn't really hurt. It just looked awful because everybody kept pointing at it going, "Hey, dude, look at that awful looking bruise." And I also realized I did not stand enough day one because my we're going to try to keep this kid friendly. My rear was a little sore. So that was one of the things I wanted to do day two, stand up more on the bike as long as my legs would allow it. But otherwise, I felt pretty good and I felt a little bit more confident going into day two because at least you had like some sort of lay of the land, some sort of idea of what to expect of the day. At this point, we'd kind of broken off into, I don't know what we want to call it. We had like an A group and a B group, but as part of that A group, we also had like an A1 group and an A2 group. Is that fair?
Yeah. Yep.
So after some riding that morning, they asked who wanted to go do some hill climbs. So I made it in by the skin of my teeth in the A group, but I was part of the secondary group. So it was me. I think his name was Chad, and I can't remember his dad's name. We decided, you know what? It's early in the morning. We don't want to do hill climbs this early and wear ourselves out for the day. So we'll take the alternate route, which, I mean, the uphill part was fine. The downhill part was some of the steepest stuff I've ever ridden. I think each of us stalled out, you know, a couple of times because you're going so slow and you're not going to roll down that hill because the turns are too sharp to get down there. But we got done probably, I don't know, like 10 minutes before you guys got done. So we got to hang out by the riverside, which was kind of nice.
Yeah, we got so the one piece that they skipped over was just the hill climbs, which personally is my favorite. You know, I got to kind of do everything with my dad. You know, shout out to him. He stepped up and kind of stayed with that top group and did all the difficult things. So that was really cool, just experiencing some of those hill climbs and riding with him throughout the country was cool, and watching him still push it to the max on some of those difficult hill climbs. So some of the hill climbs we hit, you know, they had some deep ruts where you were literally putting your feet, you know, high up as they would go in front of the bike, because
I mean, like up over the radiator.
Oh yeah.
They were that high.
Cause you had to, and it was surprising because, you know, at first you're like, this bike's just going to stop in this rut, but you know, the ruts, you know, are used to the bikes going through, and the traction's actually pretty amazing. Like as long as you were keeping some sort of momentum, the hills weren't hard. Line selection was key, because some of those ruts were a lot deeper than the others, but a lot of fun. And then we hit the same downhill as Mario, and I think you really had to kind of you know, make sure that you weren't overusing your brakes. Some people, if you're riding the brakes the whole way down, you could lose your brakes. So especially with the four strokes, using some engine braking on some of the steep downhills there is always helpful to save the brakes, and you know, just put it in second gear or even first gear and let the clutch out and let that engine braking do a little bit of the work, save your brakes. And then the steeper spots, you know, be a little heavier on your brakes.
If I'm not mistaken, a couple of guys did cook their brakes because they were over there in the river, splashing water up on the rotors, cool everything down.
Yeah, I think one of them was a two-stroke, so you're going to get a little less engine braking with that one, and have to use some of your brakes a little heavier.
I think you're right. Speaking of brakes, let me go back to day one for a minute. I know we came to not like a full stop where we were taking a break, but just waiting for the group to gather back up, and Chris asked how I was doing, which we haven't even touched on. Apparently my name's no longer Mario.
Mariano.
Yeah. So he yells back, and I just said, well, it'd be a whole lot better if I had a front brake, because my brake lever was coming all the way back to the throttle tube. I had nothing. And that was really cool because Carlos just topped off his bike and said, here, take mine, but do not crash it.
Yeah, that was his race bike too. I think, you know, we talked about earlier about that factory experience. I mean, if you have an issue, they get it fixed. Someone else, you know, popped off a chain and we all kind of waited and they got it fixed and he's out there riding again. So great experience there, you know, great mechanics, and they just want you to have a great time.
And they do have a support vehicle they can get out there if they really need to fix something. So, I mean, you don't have to worry about breaking down alongside the trail, but all right. But back to day two for a minute. Yeah, I mean, riding that day was a lot of fun. And like I said, I think I broke off from you guys, what, once in the morning and once in the afternoon?
Yeah, it wasn't a lot. I think that's what they did a really good job of is, you know, obviously Mario, my dad, and I came as a group. We really wanted to, you know, ride together. Mario broke off sometimes, but it wasn't like half the day. They did such a great job of managing it. Next thing you know, we're all riding together again. So you still have that experience if you want to ride with your buddies and they're a little bit different skill set. They do a great job at just kind of managing it. Make sure you still ride together, but then you also get to hit something if you want to do a little bit harder hill climb and then come back with your friend.
It probably wouldn't much more than 20 minutes, maybe 30 in some cases. And I think it was later in the day. We took an alternate route back to get back to the compound, and you guys came in like 10 minutes later or something like that. But had another great lunch that day. It's kind of a open air place that we ate at. I think that was the day we got to choose. Like day one, it's just, at least for us, what you got's what you got, which no complaints. Day two, you got to choose your meat or your protein. I think you had a choice of chicken, fish, pork, beef.
Yeah, another great hole in the wall place. And I think we got to step it back right before lunch too. The smoothies.
Oh yeah. Was that day? Yeah, I guess that was day two. Yeah, we were sitting down there at that riverbed after we came down that steep downhill. And Chris was like, hey, do you guys want to go up to the top of the mountain here and get smoothies? Well, yeah. So I didn't realize how high it actually was.
Well, we rode up the entire mountain. And just the views there were just absolutely breathtaking. The smoothies are just, you know, there's all this fresh fruit. The plantains or bananas were right there. And cheap.
$2, $3.
Yeah, and they even had a West Virginia staple on the menu that we didn't try.
They did. I was just scared to try it. One, I didn't want to go blind. And two, I knew I had to get down off that mountain. But they had moonshine for $2. Might have to try that next time. Yeah, maybe I'll ask if I can get a to-go cup.
Yeah, we were just, you kind of never knew what we were going to get into and how much harder it was going to get. So yeah. We were like always managing our energy.
Yeah, I didn't give our tour guides too much crap back. I just kind of let them beat up on me a little bit, because if not, I just figured they were going to destroy me on the trails, and I didn't want to get left out there. So
yeah, I think Chris said that to you. He was just like, why aren't you giving it back? Go ahead, you can give it back. And we're like, we're too scared to give it back. Yeah. Because you can kind of control how big you kick our ass.
Exactly. But no, I mean, after the smoothies in, I mean, we had a decent little ride to then get to lunch. Lunch was nice. I had nice shaded area, good breeze blowing through there. And then the afternoon ride was a fun ride. It wasn't anything super difficult until you guys kind of broke off. And is that the day you went and rode in the vine section? And rest in peace, GoPro Hero 7.
Yeah, so we did this little kind of jungle type section and unfortunately lost my GoPro. And just want another shout out to the, you know, Carlos stayed back and he went looking for my GoPro. You know, I looked for it for a while and then got a little tired. But I thought it was pretty amazing that they would just go back and kind of look for something that was completely my fault. So really appreciate and shout out to Carlos and the guys for looking for that. But, you know, lost the GoPro. Got to do that cool section, though. And then we did an amazing hill climb on the last part of the day near the compound. It's probably one of my favorite super rocky hill climb. I think Chris caught a vine, and my dad and I got to be the first to the top. So that was a cool win, and I was kind of afraid, though.
See, now you can talk trash to him because we're safe. We're safe back in the United yeah. States.
Next trip, because we're definitely going back, I think we'll get some payback for that comment.
Yeah, probably. You guys will. I'm not supporting his comment in any way. All right, so we get back to the compound. Same sort of deal. Factory experience. Just peel your stuff off. They're taking care of it. And then hopped in the pool. Now, one of the things included, and I don't want to speak for everyone, but at least in our package, and I think it's every package, I'd have to go back and look at the website. I mean, and you guys are more than welcome to check it out at CostaRicaUnlimited.com, was you had a choice between zip lining or a massage. After 2 days of riding, I couldn't give a flying F about zip lining. So I think your dad got a massage first, and then I got mine that day. You waited to the next morning. Holy crap, was that like a nice reset? And that was an hour long one. This wasn't some 30 minute, hour long.
Yeah, it was a great day, I think, going into your off day to get that massage. I mean, it was amazing. It was my first massage, and I'm definitely going to go back and get another one. So really,
it's always something that I feel like I should get done routinely, maybe every 6 weeks, every month. I just always forget about it.
Yeah, especially with riding, it's hard on your body.
So anyway, same sort of deal. Did we have dinner there? Yeah, we had dinner. Or do we have dinner after the first ride night at the compound?
We had dinner every night after the ride day.
And that's
That's the other thing. Some of the most amazing dinners I've ever had were there. So once again, I support especially on the ride days. Get the dinner. Just go back to the compound after riding all day. Relax. Get a massage. Eat the dinner. Maybe on your off day, go explore the country, see some different things, eat at some restaurants, but get their dinner. It is amazing.
I'm going to one correction. I think day two, we actually went somewhere and we had our off day as a dinner that night because it was Tuesday. It was Taco Tuesday.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, you're right. We switched it around because we did not want to miss Taco Tuesday, which was a good thing.
But the dinner we had there on night one, which we didn't really touch, was that was so good.
Yeah. Phenomenal.
You'll see it in the YouTube videos, I'm sure. All right, so off day you can go do whatever you want. And one thing we didn't talk about on the drive in was Crocodile Bridge.
Yeah, some large crocodiles. I thought they were the one we thought was a log. We're like, that can't be a crocodile.
Oh yeah, it was too big to be a crocodile. I just thought it was like an old piece of it was a and then some of them floating down the river. It's crazy. The only reason I'm bringing that up now is because on your off day, if you want to go out there, that's a cool thing to go check out. It's probably, I don't know if I had to guess, 40, 45 minutes away, something like that.
Yeah.
But we went down to the marina. I believe it was Los Sueños. Was that the name of the marina? Actually, somebody DM'd me on Instagram, said his dad used to have a boat down there. Now he's in some other country. But that was, first off, there was a yacht sitting there that I don't even want to guess the price of that. It looked like a damn naval ship.
I mean, I think it was the size of my state of Maryland. Like, it was crazy. The helicopter on it. I think they were doing like a fishing tournament or something, which was really cool, where we ate lunch because we could kind of just overlook the marina and all the different yachts out there. The water was super clear with some tropical fish in there. It was a cool experience.
Yeah, it was. We had kind of an Americanized lunch, which, listen, as much as I enjoyed all the Costa Rican food up to this point, I still enjoyed my hamburger or whatever it is I got that night or that afternoon. I just wanted something comfortable because I knew we were having tacos that night and we were going to go back to, you know, more authentic food later on. What else did we do that? Oh, we went up to the top. I can't remember the name of the hotel. If you're watching this on YouTube, we'll put some pictures up. But Chris recommended, he's like, oh, you ought to go check out this hotel. Like, it's this gnarly road. You got to get up. First off, anytime you have to go uphill anywhere there, it's a gnarly road. And you get all the way up to the top of this thing, and the views were just crazy.
Yeah, it was, what, like 20 minutes just going straight up?
Yeah. And you were going across a ridge at one point where it was fall off the right, fall off the left. There was nothing else. I mean, it's – and then even the parking, like – I felt like, you know, not that your dad's a bad driver, he's a fine driver, but it was still like that Austin Powers moment where it was like, back up, pull up, till you could finally get out of there because it was like a single lane to get back out of that parking lot.
Worth it, though. The drive up there and the tight parking and everything, worth it for those views. And there's a bar up there that we just grabbed a drink and then just overlooked this whole thing. There was an amphitheater there. Really cool.
So, in that amphitheater, holy crap, was that thing steep. Like,
I didn't think it was real. I was like, you can't go up there. I mean, it's a ladder going down and getting up. It's not stairs. It's a ladder.
Yeah, pretty much. So anyway, I mean, we just kind of spent the day out and about relaxing. You guys got, I think you and Kathleen got massages that morning, and then we left there, I don't know, 11:30. So we spent, I don't know, a good 4 hours or so, 5 hours out, had a good time. Got back to the compound. Like I said, it was Taco Tuesday. But we had a little bit of a special treat because the one group of guys had left early that morning and chartered a boat and went out fishing and actually brought some fresh fish back.
Yeah, I think they caught like 14 pounds or something. They had a really good day, and, you know, shout out to them. They shared it with the group and grilled that up for a portion of our Taco Tuesday.
Yeah, for some fish tacos. So that was good. Another night of relaxing there. And then we got up, it was the final day of riding, which is kind of a bittersweet thing. When you first look at it, you go, I'm going to be, like, for us, we're going to be there a week. And, you know, I was talking to some people at work, you know, you're only riding 3 days? I'm like, yeah, no, I kind of like to ride all week. First off, no, I am not in, I do not have the skill level, the talent, or the stamina to ride all week. Like, it'd just be impossible, unless they were, like, leisurely rides. So 3 days was perfect for me.
And it goes back to them trying to find your skill level, what you're comfortable with. And I think they do a great job at making sure you max out those 3 days where if you're really good in shape, you're a really good technical rider, they'll find stuff that's really going to push you and your skill level to where you feel like those 3 days are enough riding.
Yeah. And that was, I rode stuff down there I'd never ridden before. I rode stuff far more difficult than I've ever ridden before, and I made it through successfully. And I think that's the other big, like, I don't want to knock on Luke, but we were talking to your son last night, and he kept going, when I get faster, and I was like, this has nothing to do with being fast. It has to do with technical ability and just being able to finish the day. Speed, no one cares about. And by the way, to make it up most of that stuff, you are going to need some speed, but you got to be able to pick out the right lines and keep that bike up.
Yeah, that's what was pretty neat about it, is that you just felt a different satisfaction. For those racers out there, you know, it's usually about how fast can I go around a course, you know, how much faster I am than the competition. Here, it's just all about conquering. Like, it was a team atmosphere. Like, when Mario made it up a hill, it was so cool. You know, you're high-fiving, just say, oh, I made up this technical hill, and you feel that full satisfaction within you that was way greater than, you know, how fast you went around a course.
Yeah, I mean, it was super challenging stuff. Now I'm looking forward to riding back here in some of the races and stuff. Granted, two different things, because now you got to ride for speed and against other people and against the clock. But I don't feel like, you know, this season I'm going to see anything on a course that's going to be as difficult as what we rode while we were down there.
And confidence with racing, riding, it's so key. And I could see your confidence grow because there was some stuff out there that I know was stretching your ability, but you kept pushing. You went over, you know, all the technical obstacles. And I think you're definitely became a better rider because of that experience.
No, for sure. And I think I also need a Husqvarna 350 and maybe get rid of my 250.
Yeah, I don't know what Chris has for deals, but he needs a pretty good deal because I think all of us came home wanting a new bike. So I think eventually we'll be going into JT Motorsports and seeing that.
I got to call Phil.
Yeah, call Phil.
So speaking of some challenging riding, that morning, correct me if I'm wrong, some of those uphills things you guys did the day I split off, we were doing downhill?
Yeah, so day three was definitely the most challenging. I feel like it was kind of an hour or two straight of some gnarly trail, which was, you know, it was fun because it was definitely some of the challenging. The one hill that we did, a lot of people got stuck on, but it was, once again, that satisfaction. You know, we came back, helped each other, and everyone got up the hill, and it was just kind of neat. I mean, when you look at these hills and you're like, holy cow, I just went up that.
We've gone back and looked at some of the GoPro footage, which the GoPro never shows depth of, you know, depth. It never really shows incline, declines as well as or as crazy as what it actually is in person. And even on the GoPro, you look at some of this stuff and go, holy crap. Like,
you can see the elevation change. Yeah. You can see how deep the ruts are, which, as you mentioned, on a GoPro, that's crazy because I've done some of the gnarliest hills, and I look back on GoPro to, like, show someone, and they're like, there's no hill there.
Yeah.
No, we saw hills.
Yeah. No, for sure. But some really good riding that morning. I mean, whenever we'd get to a section where we were done, I was thrilled. I knew more was coming, but I'm like, all right, now I can catch my breath. Because on some of those steep downhills, I'm going to be honest, I had my bike off. And it was for a couple of reasons. One, I usually had somebody like pretty much directly in front of me. But I was just kind of, I had the bike in like first gear, second gear, and I was using the clutch as my rear brake because couldn't get to my rear brake because my foot's up over top of the radiator shroud, and then using a little bit of front brake, but got down everything.
Yeah, another piece of advice there is, you know, as we talked about before, especially for the racers, this isn't a race. This is a trail ride. There are some, you know, obstacles out there, especially when you don't know what's coming. You know, the ledges are just, you know, insane. You're falling down a mountain if you kind of ride over your head. So it's really important about just going there, working on your form, enjoying the scenery, and not riding, you know, over the top.
I remember there was one section where you had to transverse the side of the hill there. It wasn't a very long section. And I just turned around and looked at Chris's stepson. I was like, I don't think I can do this. And he goes, you're fine. You've been doing this all day. And I was like, because if you slid down off of there, you guys would still be looking for me today. Like, it was way down there.
Yeah, but it's all about picking and choosing. There were definitely some spots where, you know, I felt comfortable and could see it was a spot that I can kind of push and get that speed up and have a lot of fun. And then there were certain spots where it's like, okay, here I'm going to slow down and just make sure I get through it safely.
So we did all that challenging riding in the morning, and then we got our payday. We got to ride on the beach.
Yeah, a bucket list item for sure. I never really thought I'd be taking a dirt bike out on a beach, and the beach was just, it was massive.
It was long and wide. I've never seen, at least where we were, I've never been on a beach that's that wide where you had all that. So, I mean, and you guys, if you hop over in the YouTube channel, we'll see it once we get it posted, but we had people riding wheelies, and then we kind of set up like a flat track out there where, you know, everybody's going as fast as they can, you know, throwing it in the corner. And then we just kind of a little bit of everything. There was also a water crossing out there. I mean, that was just the only thing we were asked was to keep it out of the ocean. You know, we didn't want the salt water up on the bike. Obviously, sand's going to do enough damage, especially when it comes to those KTM and Huskies, because you got steel frames. But that was a blast. And then we're at lunch.
Yeah, right on the beach. We got to hop off the beach, ride up the road a little bit, and then our lunch spot was literally on the beach with some nice swings.
Hammocks.
I think some people even took a nap. I sat up in one of the kind of the lounge chairs and got a nice shot with my boots on the beach, which I never thought I'd be having a pair of CDs on the beach, sitting back in a chair. So many bucket list items checked off. Really enjoyed that ride on the beach.
Yeah, and then we had a really good lunch there. the other group of guys rolled in kind of at the tail end of that lunch. We did a big group photo. And then the afternoon riding, while fun, wasn't as challenging as what it was in the morning, but still a good way to kind of wrap things up. We still got to ride actually, was that the afternoon where it was just like water crossing after water crossing?
Yeah, so that was the one place that you got me in. So the one water crossings, we had some river crossings after lunch, and they were quite deep, and I think I kind of went just 1 foot to the left. Bike started to sink, grabbed a little bit too much throttle, and then the bike shut off, and you know,
for the airbox sucked in that water.
Yeah, and immediately put it in neutral and pushed that bike. I think, you know, the insurance does cover everything but drowning the bike. So they did a great job. As soon as I got it across the river, take out the air filter, dump the bike, lift the front end up and start, put it in a gear and then start rocking it backwards to push that water back out. Bike fired right up, dry out the air filter, went on to the next one.
Didn't you do it again?
Yeah, what they said is, you know, with that air filter, yeah, didn't really have a chance to dry out. So the second one I went through fine. The water didn't really get into it. But you know what? It happened again. And guess what? The guides step right up. They get your bike up and going again. And, you know, a couple minutes later, we're down the trail. So
yeah, I mean, they would try to dry the air filter out, sticking it back there at the exhaust. But, I mean, you want to keep the ride going on. And to be fair, you weren't the only one that had that issue. I mean, we had, what, like three different bikes? At the point of, because these weren't like some of the crosses we did earlier in the week where basically you just go right across. Like I remember that one specifically, like I'm studying the line of I think it was Chris's stepson, because it was like you had to go out, arc around, come back in. Like it was a little bit more it was a little bit more challenging than some of the other ones were, and the water was deeper and it was flowing more, but it was a lot of fun. And just to be able to make it across some of those things, because again, I'm probably, unless it's a race and we've got to go over some sort of water crossing, I'm probably not just for fun going to take my bike over those or through those sorts of things.
No, and you were going through there at Mach 1. I have no clue how you didn't get water in there. I think you were just parting the river where there's like no water.
I got scolded because I got my goggles all wet and I got my gloves all wet. But I was like, dude, I got a YouTube channel I got to keep up on. I need that water splash from... you know, up on the GoPro, it looks cool. I know it's not the right way to do it, but I did get across there. So, no, that was fun. And then we ended up back at the compound. I don't remember what we did that night. I don't know if we went out to eat or if we ate there. I think we did go out to eat that night because I remember your wife playing with some random cat and you playing with some random dog at a restaurant.
Yeah, I think it was called the truck stop.
Yeah.
But it was pretty authentic food. It was good. I loved the fact that there were dogs in every restaurant.
Yeah, there really were. Yeah. Dogs walk up to you everywhere.
Yeah, I'm a dog person. So if I can have my dinner with a dog, that's a winning restaurant for me.
The dogs I like, the iguanas, not so much.
Yeah, they were everywhere too, and they kept getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah, because people kept feeding them because you want to get a good picture of them. People were throwing them food, and those things, I mean, they're growing to be the size of dogs at this point. So, yeah. All right. So just to kind of wrap things up, that was kind of the end of our riding experience. We did have breakfast again there the next morning, which again was awesome. We had to be out of the house by, I think, 9, but Chris was like, you guys can hang out here, you know, around the pool and everything as long as you want, because we couldn't check into the next place, I think, until noon, which there was we don't even get into the story there, but it was a whole debacle trying to find this place. But we stayed in this ridiculous house. I think it was a VROB or Airbnb. I don't remember how many bedrooms, like, you and Kathleen had two bedrooms. I had two bedrooms. Your mom and dad had a bedroom. We each had our own bathroom. There was another bathroom in the house. There was a pool on the roof. There was a hot tub on the third level. There was a lap pool. It was overlooking the beach. It was a pretty quick walk down to the beach.
Yeah, they said a 7-minute walk. I'd be very impressed to find anyone that can do 7 minutes from the beach to the house, though.
Yeah, you needed your own Sherpa to get back up to the top there to where the house was. We did do that walk once, and that was enough. But that was fun. We spent a couple of days there. The big thing was we wanted a direct flight back. We didn't want to have to deal with connectors. So we were there a couple more days. We were gone Saturday to Saturday. So look into Airbnb or VROB if you kind of want to extend your trip out. I think that was a better call, especially if you're going with a group of people. Then maybe grabbing a hotel, because I think money-wise it probably works out better anyway and much better facility.
Yeah, we got to hang out. I think that's where we kind of decided, one, the hotels were more expensive, and then two, you know, each of us just would have been in our own room and we wouldn't have been able to hang out. This place was absolutely amazing. Great time hanging out and just kind of relaxing after the ride. I think it's important to kind of balance both. The riding was fun, but then it's also important to take a little bit of time, enjoy the country, enjoy the company with everyone. So it's a great time.
All right. So if we were going to give some tips for anybody that wants to do the Costa Rica, we'll say both things, but Costa Rica unlimited experience or just like general things you learned about Costa Rica. What do you think? What do we want to share?
So first and foremost for me, I am a foodie, and the fact of just getting the food right there at the compound, I would do that over and over again. I don't care what the cost is. Get their breakfast, get their dinner, just enjoy the compound, enjoy the view after riding. If you want to go out and explore and eat at a restaurant, do it on your off day. But the fact that you just go to the compound and everything is there was so nice.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely go ahead and pre-purchase the meals. The breakfast at minimum, the dinners, probably on your ride days would be the best call. But just go ahead and get the breakfast every day. It's so worth it. Buy the bike waiver insurance for two reasons, even though we didn't really get to use the second reason. I mean, the first reason is you trash that bike, you're covered. But, you know, the second reason is you can flip-flop bikes. We never really did that because there was such a large group of people there. You and I talked about doing it the one afternoon, and then we probably just forgot. I mean, really, I feel like all we were doing at that point was I was trading you a white bike for an orange bike. Yeah. But
well, I got on my bike. I immediately felt comfortable. I don't think we talked about that earlier, though, too. Like, the bikes just are set up. The suspension was spot on. Everything just felt great. So after that point, I was just like, I'll just stick with this bike because I feel great on it.
I didn't really have any complaints. And they do have a stop early in day one just to say, hey, do you want to make any adjustments? And, you know, I think you mentioned it earlier if you didn't, but, you know, your dad wanted his brake lever adjusted. They took care of that immediately. If you wanted any adjustments made to it, they did it immediately. This is something I didn't do, but I probably should have, unless you're coming from a really warm climate. But if you're coming from winter and going down there, I would recommend hydrating before you get there. Maybe drink some Pedialyte or Gatorade, you know, kind of, and water a few days out before you get down there. Definitely take your Camelback. And at any opportunity you get to fill it up with fresh water, let me take that back, clean fresh water, fill it up.
Yeah, the hydration is important, especially if you're like us and like a few alcoholic beverages at the end of the day. Get that water in every chance you can get. If you're drinking you know, some other beverages at night, mix in some water in between because the days are tough. You're sweating a lot, especially if you're coming from a different climate. As Mario mentioned, that water will save you. It'll avoid the cramping and everything like that and really get you to enjoy the trip.
I mean, I drank like probably 3 liters on day one. I don't think I peed until like that night. Like my body was using every last bit of water. And I think by the time we were riding on the third day, I actually did have to stop and pee a couple of times. Like, at that point, I know I'm hydrated. But it would have been good to kind of get used to that beforehand. So, you know, one of the things you kind of touched on earlier, this is not a race. And I think this is just something good to share because the consequences are high if you go over the side.
Yeah, there's no hospitals close either. And there's a lot of things out there. You're in the jungle.
We didn't even touch on all the animals and whether they were domesticated or wild. I mean, you'd be riding now. I still don't know how that one cow got on the side of that mountain like that.
No, it was insane. And yeah, definitely a lot of wildlife out of there, but you just want to ride within your comfort zone. At the end of the day, you're there on, you know, a vacation. It's the chance to prove yourself by making it through the obstacles, not how fast you go through them.
Yep. And then one thing we already talked about earlier was jump in every body of water you come to.
Yeah, fully submerge yourself. It is a complete reset button. I don't care how bad you're feeling when you come to one of those river or creek crossings or the waterfall. Yeah. Get in the water and you will feel like a new person.
I remember Carlos looked at me when we got to the waterfall and he was like, go submerge yourself. You're going to feel better. And I was like, all right. And then I did.
Yeah, I was hesitant about, you know, as I mentioned earlier, about getting my boots wet, but
and people were probably wondering why we got in with our boots on. You have to. They're it's like a rock bottom there, and if you tried to get in with bare feet or something, you may end up breaking.
Yeah, you don't want to get a cut on your foot or anything like that. Just get in with all your gear. It's worth it.
All right. So, and I think you've already spoiled this. I mean, is there a chance you're going back?
Absolutely. For me, this was, you know, at first it's kind of one of those bucket once in a lifetime trips that you say, as I mentioned earlier, getting to ride this amazing country with my dad and best friend Mario, it was tremendous. You know, with my pops, you know, it's just, you can't really put into words of how much it meant to like just go through this with him. He's still riding at a high level. It was something that I'll remember forever, and I want to keep making those memories and do it again.
Yeah, and I don't think, you know, I mean, obviously we'd probably hit the waterfall next time, and I'd probably want to hit the beach next time, but a lot of the rest of the ride, I'm assuming, is going to be way different. Like, at this point, they kind of know what level you can ride at. They're already going to be able to put you out there on some stuff that they know you're going to like, they know you're going to enjoy. Now, I'd love to go back with, you know, when I say a different group of people, still like go back with you guys, but it'd be awesome if we can take more of our friends down to go ride. And I definitely have to split off when you, Dave, and Andrew want to go hit up the super gnarly stuff. Unless it's a few years from now, maybe at some point I can improve my skill level enough. But it was just the overall experience was so much fun. The group of people that run that place were awesome. And, yeah, it's definitely something I want to go back and do. Should tell people it's not cheap to do this. Like,
no,
but I feel like it was worth every single dollar.
Yeah, I don't care what it cost. I would do it again. And as you mentioned, the people are great. I mean, Chris has such a great personality and just how he relates to people. He can bust your balls, but he still feels like your best friend. So just everyone, super helpful. They have it so well run and organized with multiple kind of, you know, sweep riders in between all the groups. Just everything, you can just tell that they've done it for a while. They've mm-hmm. perfected it. And it, as you mentioned, it's expensive, but it's worth every penny.
Yep. And speaking of Chris, he has agreed to be on the podcast. This might end up being the first podcast where we have to, you know, put it as explicit content, but it'll be a lot of fun. I really don't think it'll get that bad, but it'll be a lot of fun. He's agreed to be on. We're going to try to get him lined up on Skype. We just kind of have to figure out if we want to have any of the rest of our friends on at the same time, or if we just want to have him on solo and then do a big group one. Because I think the stories shared in there, I don't know that you're going to learn a whole lot, but you're definitely going to be entertained. But I hope you guys did learn something from this one. I mean, we just kind of wanted to share our experience of riding down in Costa Rica. So much fun. Something I'm going to go do again. I don't really have anything else to add to this one, though.
No, I think, as you mentioned, though, some of our friends, so they went last year, and I think what we, as we said before, we want to go back. I think our goal is to rent out the whole compound and get kind of a reunion tour, because I think I heard that they set a few records. So I think it was an entertaining group, to say the least, and hopefully we can get them on the podcast, maybe with Chris as well, and kind of talk about their experience, and that way you can kind of see how it is compared to ours. But go check it out. Go to their website.
Yeah, definitely go check out the website and go check out their Instagram. It's also Costa Rica Unlimited. You'll see Brian and his boots. By the way, Brian's boots are still in Costa Rica.
Yeah, I left them there. I wore them out, I think, from having to drag some of my feet up through those ruts. They're some eight-year-old boots, so it was kind of nice to save some weight on the trip back.
Yeah, you had plenty of room in your suitcase on the way back. But and I think one of the guys left his shirt there. It got all shredded up. But otherwise, we made it through pretty much unscathed. So anything else you want to add, Matt?
No, just go do it. Step outside of your comfort zone if you're ever worried about kind of going to a different place. Costa Rica is super friendly. The people were friendly. The experience was awesome with the riding and the non-riding. So just go do it. It's a blast.
No, I mean, so I love to travel. So that part for me is always awesome. But the riding part was definitely outside of my comfort zone. But I feel much more confident as a rider, you know, after riding down there for 3 days than I did going into that. But it's so much fun. And if you do feel like you get a little overhead, I don't even know that you got to raise your hand and say anything. I think it's just going to be recognized, and they'll kind of cut it back a little bit for you.
I think they know you better than you know yourself. Yeah. They are so good at reading riders and making sure that everyone had a great time. There's no one. We had people from all different skill levels and what they wanted to do. And I can guarantee you every single person you talk to, from the fastest rider to the slowest rider, had a blast.
And all different ages. We had guys in their teens all the way up to people in their 60s on this trip. So All right. Well, we made it through another podcast. I'm not real sure how, because we started this one super early on almost no sleep. But hope you guys enjoyed. If you're watching on YouTube, please be sure to give us a big thumbs up. Please be sure to subscribe to us on any of the podcast platforms that you may be listening on. If you have a question and you're not watching on YouTube and you're watching or listening on one of the podcast platforms, head over to the Facebook page, Two Wheeled Rider, ask your question there, or shoot us an email at twowheeledrider.com. That's all spelled out, except it's the digit two, wheeled spelled out, rider spelled out, dot spelled out, com spelled out, at gmail.com. We'll do our best to answer that. And I think that's it. So I'm Mario Orsini.
And I'm Brian Boyer.
We'll talk to you guys again soon.